Verses 25 and 26, and I'm calling our teaching today, Don't Put It Off. Don't put it off. A lot of our problems in life, both on a practical level and also on a spiritual level, is we'll do it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes. And we have to learn that when something arises, or whatever is to be done, if we can do it, we do it immediately. Or at least we don't forget it, so that we will act when we can. And we find that in our lives each day that there are these demands set upon us. For example, if you are at work, well, they ask you to do something, whatever it would be, they pretty well want you to act almost immediately. And you find yourselves at times having to do another job, and you think, well, just hang on a minute till I do this, and then I'll do that, and so forth. But of course, you see, people are impatient, and they think that you can multitask. And some are good at multitasking. And in many ways, spiritually, God is teaching us to spiritually multitask. But it isn't actually as hard as we think, because the enemy, of course, will always twist and change a thing, you see, to make it as though you can't do it or you haven't got the time. But in these two verses, which I want to read now, it says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And it's 26 really that I want to really hone in today on. Assuredly I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. So we're calling this today, Don't Put It Off. And as I've said, this is about keeping close accounts with God. And when situations in life arise, face them and don't leave it. Whatever arises, when God is convicting or revealing or showing something, don't put it off. Don't dismiss it. If God is showing something, or He's showing something maybe while you're walking in the town or whatever it is, you can always just say, Father, I give that over to you, what you have shown me, whatever it is. Please lead me and guide me in this situation. You've already handed it over. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. This is why it speaks in Thessalonians that we are to continue in prayer. It's this attitude of prayer. And this is important with regard to not putting off things. And prayer is connected with a relationship with God. It's not just praying when you go to church. It's not just praying when I have just my quiet time with the Lord, which of course we do. But out of our going to church, out of our going in our closets and meeting with God and having prayer, out of those experiences with God should also come further experiences of where, when required or needed, we pray, we communicate, we talk with God. We just don't talk with God at certain times. There should always be that attitude of communicating with God whenever, whatever, and whatever situation. I emphasize this because then you don't put it off. You don't put it off. As someone said, which I was reading recently, there is no heaven that has a little corner of hell in it. And if you think about it, we're not talking about heaven because there's no hell at all there. But what God is doing in us, there's still areas He is delivering and working with us and getting our attention. We have to accept we are under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. I know that may sound hard, and there are times when we just say, give me a break, I want to rest. You know, I just want to go off and just have a break. But you see, the Holy Spirit won't do that. Of course we have our vacations, and of course it is important to set aside and have those times of rest. But the Holy Spirit has ever got us under scrutiny. We are never out of His sight for one second. I was encouraged by listening to that prophecy this morning. And thank God that He is like that. Because He has decreed to make you pure and holy in His sight. It is His declaration. The idea of becoming pure and holy comes from Him. It's not in us. No way. So don't think, you know, I've got to become pure and holy. It's my responsibility. It's my job. It is in the sense of yielding and not resisting, but the actual work of making us pure and holy is the Holy Spirit's work, and no finer way is it done than when we realize He is watching us all the time, and to make us pure and holy, don't put it off, as that parable tells us, as I'm going to open it up more. He's going to do it, and all the time He is bringing us into a realization and understanding of the fact that if we put things off, then there can be judgment, conviction. There is a penalty that is attached to it. And a lot of our trials that we go through are the fact that we have put it off, we have ignored, and we have found ourselves finally in prison, where God can then get our attention. And of course you see what was happening here He says, assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny, until you have overcome, till you have met the conditions. And he's, and meeting those conditions means that's the purity, that's the cleansing work that he's doing in us. That's why I say so often, this whole walk of the deeper life is about deliverance. And so because it's about deliverance, if we truly understand that, we're going to find out, sooner or later, we don't put it off. Because this is about deliverance, and God is delivering me, therefore I don't want to hinder him. Because in this deliverance, if I hinder him, it's going to simply mean that judgment will fall on me. Because God is righteous. And it will more if we have light on a thing. And if God gives us light, and then we put it off or we procrastinate, we are under a greater judgment because we're seeing what the world doesn't see. And some of you may be saying, oh, well, Pastor, if you only just knew, you're talking about my life. This is me. But the point is, it's coming and being honest before God. It's always coming clean.
Yeah.
It is saying, if you have this problem, Lord, I have this problem. I procrastinate. I put it off. I stick my head in the sand. I know you're saying things, but I think to myself, it'll be all right tomorrow. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes. But you find yourself falling into a trap, into an abyss. And it seems you can't get out of it. And it seems that it just raises its ugly head from time to time to time. It's what we call about going round Jericho's walls. And we're going to go round and round and round those walls until we meet the condition. And then when the conditions are met, then the shouts. And then the praise and the glory. And then, of course, the Jericho wall comes down. But what do we do about a thing like that? This is why God is humbling us. We are always going to have pride issues. And the only way we are going to get delivered from these pride issues is to continually, daily, in an attitude and heart and desire to walk with your knees bowed in his presence. Because keeping that abasement before God deals with pride when it rises. We're all looking for a demon to be cast out of us. And there are demons of pride, so don't get me wrong. But man's nature, in that sense, is proud. And we are being recreated, the new nature of Christ in us. Amen. But it is so easy in situations, whatever we find ourselves in, where that pride is there. And then you have a choice. And that choice is a lot easier to make when you desire and you are keeping your knees bowed in God's presence. The grace and the mercy is there to retract. Because pride doesn't like to retract. Pride doesn't like to think that the other person or situation has won. That goes against our nature. When pride rises, it rises because I am going to win this. But God says, you are not going to win this. I am going to win this. Amen. And I don't need your help. You see? And there's the difference. So we've got to just face these facts, brothers and sisters. You know, we say, well, there's pride at times, you know, I don't even have to look for it. It just somehow has a way of raising its ugly head and so forth. But if you keep these close accounts with God, you are in fellowship and a covenant walk with him, you will find the grace of God will deal with it. And you know, very often, our bowing the knee, our retracting in that pride, actually has a very positive effect on other people. Many times they look and say, they might not say it to you, but they will say in so many words, that cost you to do that. That cost you to keep your mouth shut. That cost you to walk away from that situation when I could see otherwise you'd give somebody a black eye. There's many, many ways that we can walk away from pride that is manifesting at that point. And we can only do it by the grace and the power and mercy of God. We can only do it by the life of Christ in us as we yield and he walks away from it, because Jesus will never enter a situation with this strife, pride, all those things. It is contrary to his nature. You see? And this is how this can be achieved, how this can be overcome, you see. And of course, yes, we are going to be tried, of course we are. But unless we're tried, we're never going to know, are we? We're never going to know that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world, unless I go through these experiences. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to experience, that wasn't me that did that. That wasn't me. I know what I would have done. But that is the power of God taking over me at that point, enabling me to walk away or to shut my mouth or do whatever it is. And that's what's so wonderful about this walk. That's what makes you just want to yield for more. Because it wasn't you doing it. And we've got to learn this. As we're never going to understand this otherwise. We're all going to see it for what I did. It's not what I did, it's what the life of Christ in me did.
Amen.
As I yield daily on the cross and so forth, and of course as we heard it through prophecy this morning. And so when we put a thing off and we ignore it and so forth, what happens? Conviction, penalty, and you are thrown into prison. It becomes a prison experience. And sometimes our prison experiences are because we have put it off. And we've only got ourselves to blame. And God sometimes is bringing us to that place where we've only got ourselves to blame, because up until that point we're blaming everybody else. Until there's no one else to blame. And then you look at yourself and think, yes, I know I'm here. What it says.
Amen.
In verse 25. And then we find ourselves, we ask, is this God, a God of love and a God of mercy? Can he allow this? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Oh, I know about that, Lord. You know, it's so easy to look at God and you are harsh. You are not loving. How could a loving Heavenly Father allow such a situation? Of course, the world is full of all of that. If you talk to them, don't you talk to me about God. You're supposed to have a God of love. Listen to what's going on. These wars, you know, in Africa and third world countries, you get it all. You get a whole spiel of it. But you know, sometimes we think like that. We go through it sometimes, particularly when it seems as though God isn't loving me, he's harsh or whatever it is, or maybe he has allowed me to go into a prison experience. But when we see it from God's perspective, it is his love and mercy, because he's still going to bring you out pure, spotless and undefiled. Your prison experience is going to teach you, when he's finished with me, I will come forth pure, spotless, undefiled. In other words, I come forth delivered. I come out of this prison experience with no longer the enemy binding, holding me in the areas that he does. You see? And the moment you are willing for his change, When you yield over, that is the cross, he acts immediately. He acts immediately. You might not feel anything. It might not look as though the situation has changed, but I can assure you from his perspective, he is acting on your behalf immediately. And this is why it is so important. Don't put it off. Whatever the convictions of the Holy Spirit, whatever he's starting to reveal and say to you, you need to come and agree, dialogue, talk it out. This was Israel's problem. You read, I believe it's in chapter 2, Isaiah, calling, let us come now, let us reason together. You have been putting it off, and you can't. It's exactly the same in a marriage. You cannot keep putting off things that you know are going wrong in a marriage. You have to come together in agreement. And this is why I say, for a Christian husband and wife, they have the greatest gift, and that is they can come in prayer, agree, and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to keep that unity, that peace, that harmony, and everything. Because I know life out there, and the demands of life so easily get in to try and destroy marriage. Money is the big one. And how the enemy uses it. Bills to be paid. Doesn't matter, as soon as you pay that bill, there's always another one, and another one, and another one. It's like the Severn Bridge, you never get to the end of it. You never get to the end. You start to think, wait, where's this going? Well, but it doesn't. It's the whole point. So what do we do in situations like that? Just get angry and frustrated, and, you know, what a life we live, or we yield over, we don't put it off any longer, we do exactly what God says. Commit it all to him, he'll direct your path. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We've got all these promises of God's provision because he's trying to get us to a place where we can move beyond that and start to see the real things that pertain to the kingdom. You read the Beatitudes, you read Jesus' teaching, he doesn't want to even be concerned about money, bills and all that business. Yet we still are. It is a deliverance. But the point is, don't put it off. Don't put off. Do you feel that anxiety coming up? Thinking, oh my goodness me. Whoa, there's a huge amount we've got to find at the end of the month. Where is it going to come and everything? Don't put it off. Take it straight to the Lord. Father, I'm anxious. This is wrong. You're exposing me. I'm bringing this before you now. It's covered under the blood of Jesus. You know what I'm like, but it's before you. I want to be free. I don't want this anxiety. I don't want to keep looking to this, looking to that all the time. You will provide. Sometimes it's a battle. The enemy's there. He's pounding at the mind. And it sounds so logical, doesn't it? I know. You think, whoa. And then suddenly it just lifts. And when it lifts, you then see what that really was. Wow, that was the enemy. But God sometimes lets us go through that because he's teaching us how the Holy Spirit works and how the devil works. And when the devil works, there's no peace to it. When the devil works, there's like an anxiety, a fear. There's like, when the devil works, you feel as though you are imprisoned and it's, I can't please God. I'm just, you know, and then suddenly it lifts. You think, wow, that was the enemy. What a liar he is. You see? But we get those deliverances because we don't put it off. And that's the whole point. And so often we find ourselves in prison because we have this independent spirit. In other words, I'm still demanding my rights. I still wish to do it my way. You know these people that go to these places and have these karaoke evenings and all that? Not that I know much about them, but I can only go by what little I've seen, or people have been to them, or I've known one or two. Oh, I'm going to karaoke this evening, you know. I say, all right, you're going to have a sing? Yeah, I'm going to sing a song. I say, what are you going to sing? I'll do it my way. That's one of the most popular ones, so you all know it, don't we? I'll do it my way. Thank God for the Christian who delivered from that. That's going to your own death.
You get it at funerals.
Absolutely, they do. You get it at funerals. I'll do it my way.
Yeah.
No. It's handing it over. We have this air of independence and this independent spirit. We like to be in control. A lot of people are getting a bit worried, liking to be in control. They now have worked on technology where we're going to have cars in the future that drive themselves. You no longer have a steering wheel. But have you heard the response of people on that? I mean, I'm not sure I actually like to drive a car that doesn't have a steering wheel. I mean, the thought of it is frightening. But they've got the technology. Have you ever seen them? They park themselves and they think, it's quite amazing. The steering wheel's going like this and so forth. You're just sitting there watching it all happen, you see. But that's what we're to do as Christians. I draw great spiritual analogies sometimes from these things. We still want, in areas, to be in control. And God is going to work, and don't put it off, but he is, if you put it off, he's going to work and put you into situations where it's completely out of control. And we're all nodding our heads because we know. Why did he put you through that? Because you were putting it off. But in the end, he gets our attention. Or it goes completely out of control. No, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. It's nothing, it's completely over to you and so forth. Praise God, he's got your attention. It's letting go. My trial, I have been going through, and most of you know about what it is, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, let go. And so after a month or two, whatever it is, praise God, I let go. He's still saying, let go. So we carry on, and then, oh, he says more. Praise the Lord, I've let go, you know, and everything. And he still speaks. Let go. Surely, you know, by now, I've let go. It takes a long time to let go. But you know when you've fully let go. Do you know how you know? Because you hear it in your confession. Suddenly it's changed. You're now harmonizing that confession with God's word. And you know you are. You know when faith is present. You know when God is there and God is going to bring you through. I mean, you know it. But it's actually experiencing that. But it's being diligent in not putting it off. When God is speaking, when you think about it, it is really disrespectful to Almighty God, who doesn't have to speak, who doesn't even have to save us, but is speaking to us and we choose to ignore it. Isn't it awful? You know, you just bow your head in shame. Yet we do it. We do it. And the only way you're going to change is when you say, Father, please, whatever this takes, help me not to worry when you speak. It is so important because he does speak. And so the moment you are willing for him to change you, he's going to act immediately. He gets you into the right relationship with him, and not only with him, but with others as well. You'll know your relationship with God and how close you are to him by the way you treat others. I know where I stand before God by my fellowship, my relationship with my brothers, my sisters, and yes, even my enemies. That tells me where I stand with God. No rocket science, but that's something we will often ignore and not see. And so God's going to move heaven and earth for you and me to take that right path. How we need to take the right path. We've taken wrong paths because we have ignored the signs. We've ignored the knockings. We've ignored God speaking. And so we find ourselves then going down a wrong path. And very often those paths are paths that we've been down many times. Are they not?
Right.
But there we go again. I've been down this path. I can tell you every crook and cranny. I know every tree. I know every house. I know every person that lives down this road. Because I've been down it so many times.
Oh, God.
Don't get off. Hallelujah. He's letting us have a laugh, isn't he? Because he's laughing. He's enjoying. He sees the humorous side of this because he loves us.
That's right.
He loves us. He wants us to get it right. And so we decide, I've got to do this right now. No messing about anymore. Fed up with it. This has got to be right. And then, lo and behold, it's right. Isn't it? Suddenly you've broken through. You know, and isn't it wonderful when you break through with God and you finally get it right? It's all the past where you got it wrong so many times. It's like those labor pains I told a woman when she has her child is all forgotten. Gone. It's water under a bridge because she's delighted with the effort of her labour, what it's brought forth. Mm. And same with us. That's how God does it, you see. So get into prayer. Start praying for that brother or sister. Seek God for reconciliation if you're not right with someone. Don't leave it. Get before God. Get reconciled. Make that important phone call, or write that letter, or whatever it is. Don't leave it. It may be important. And sometimes these are little things, these are little practical things. Sometimes they're the things that help make up our fellowship, our unity, our oneness, and so forth. Don't put them off, because it gets worse otherwise. Because if we don't listen to this, if you skip this, even this teaching, you will start to become dull of hearing, and it will no longer become important to the heart. Oh well, I've heard it before. You know, I'm sure it's to speak for a few people in the church and so forth. They're the attitudes you start taking on. I've seen it from this church. I've seen those attitudes, and those people who have that, sadly, silent, are not here anymore. Because they always saw it as somebody else's problem, never their own. Why? Because they were putting it off, you see. We have to examine ourselves and ask why I'm not growing spiritually. I ask God that sometimes. Am I growing spiritually? Am I keeping up? Am I what you're wanting me to be? I ask him sometimes these questions, because I'm not going to know otherwise. As well as we pray one for another, of course. But are you praying for one another? Are you paying your debts from his standpoint of view? Because that's what it is. It's not about money, but you're paying your debts by being diligent. Not putting it off. Dealing with it today. Because otherwise, I'm going to land in prison. You see, the leading of the Holy Spirit is going to equip us with every moral question that we have to face, every insight, every revelation, every answer, every question, anything, whatever we meet all these things every day. And some things we meet in the day, you have to decide on something. And sometimes you're not always sure. So you seek God. Because it doesn't come by chance. It's come into your midst for a reason. Yeah. Nothing's by chance or coincidence. It is for a reason. And so we don't put it off, you see. That's how Jesus walked in the Spirit. That's how he came to a place that he totally trusted his Father. Whatever he encountered, whatever he saw, whatever he heard, whatever decision had to be made, he walked one with the Father, and the Father knew. He didn't know, but the Father knew. And when the Father revealed it, he simply obeyed on whatever revelation was given to him. That's exactly what he's doing with us, bringing us to that place of this walk. But you're not going to experience that if you keep putting things off. Never going to happen. You're never going to get that full, fulfilled walk in the Spirit that God's training us for. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It's that knowledge of knowing what we ought to do. That's what's important. And he says, assuredly I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And by being diligent, not putting it off, is paying the penny. It's paying the price. It's going that extra mile. So God will show me. I will know what to do. Because my Heavenly Father has shown me.
Amen.
Father, we thank you again today. Thank you, Lord, that so often these simple teachings are so profound. These teachings are so practical. So much to them, Father. But we are equally aware we can't walk this walk without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. But you made it possible, Father, by going before and preparing the way. And Lord, as we look to Calvary, keep our eyes on the cross. As we walk there in our fellowship with you, communing with you, as you show these things, Father, we will pray about it, we will give it over to you. So often, it's simply giving it over to you. That's really what it requires. But we put it off sometimes. Or we don't want to face it. Or we make excuses. Help us, Lord, not to do that. But to be diligent. We need to be seeing you. We need to be walking with you. We need to be hearing what you're saying. Not yesterday or a year ago. It's today. It's being diligent today. It's hearing today. It's all about today, Father. Tomorrow will look after itself. It's about today. Help us, Lord, to grasp this and experience this, Lord. For this we ask in Jesus' name.
Rushes onward, ever growing. flourishes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security. And Jesus is